chapter 20. No? Oh. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. Here's a peep. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore. A cheap and chippy chop run, a short, sharp block. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 71. Okay. Shvadavan anasuyascha. Shvadavan anasuyascha. Shrenuyarapiyo naraha. Sopi mukta subarlokan. Sopi mukta subarlokan. Prapnuyat punakarmanam. Bolo. Shvadavana nasuyascha. Shunuyadapiyo naraha. Sobi bhukta sushubalokan. Prapnuya punya karmanam. Good. Nobody else? Ladies? Shvadavan anasuyascha. Srinudarapino naraha. Sopi mukta shubalokan. Pabnuya punya karmanam. Shvadavan. Faithful. Anasuyaha. Not envious. Cha. And Shrinuyat does hear. Api? Certainly. Yaha? Who? Naraha? A man. Saha? He? Api? Also. Muktaha? Being liberated. Shubhan? The auspicious. Lokan. Planets. Prapnuyat. He attains. Punya karmanam. Of the pious. And so Krishna says, and one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. Purport. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open classes, and in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open classes? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions. And after that, attain the planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the results of righteous activities. Thus, a pure devotee, the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. So, probably, there's more. Generally, those who are free from all sinful reactions, those who are righteous, very easily take to Krishna consciousness. The word punya karmanam is very significant here. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices like Ashvamedha Yajna, mentioned in the Vedic literatures. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure, can attain the planetary system of the pole star or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee of the Lord, and he has a special planet called the pole star. Swabhavi. 20 comments, I think, or questions? Okay. Yeah. Anybody here is a regular participant? No. Oh, every Friday you're coming?
I'm coming every day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is the Friday night Bhagavad Gita class. Mm-hmm. Starring Gopi. There she is. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So we're this is it's been going on for a long time, right? Yeah, every Friday night. And this is the last chapter, and Antrupa was saying maybe we can finish off this week and next week. And so Krishna is giving a conclusion. Actually, Prabhupada says that the Bhagavad Gita is finished before the 18th chapter. But Krishna is giving it again. Yeah. And in the last few verses, he's kind of talking about epistemology. You know, what is the value of this literature? Who can study it? How to study it? You know, what is the Bhagavad Gita? And his conclusion is in text number 1866. Sarvadharman paritya jya. Mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarve papebhyo. Mokshayishami masuchaha. Yeah, this is the previous verse, the verse before it. Mamana baba mad bhakto. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishat satyam te. Pratijani priyosime. Yeah. Oh, this is the most confidential knowledge. Because you are my dear friend, I am now speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion, all dharmas, Kshatriya dharma, Varsha dharma, and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But then he says, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear to me. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me with his intelligence. So texts 65 and 66 are the content. You know, don't engage in Kshatriya Dharma. Don't do all these different kinds of things. Engage in tapasya, acts of charity, so many things, right? But he's saying here, abandon all these varieties of ethical and moral behavior and just surrender to me. That's the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. But, and then after that he's explaining about this message, this Bhagavad Gita. If somebody explains it to somebody else, what happens? He's guaranteed to engage in devotional service and go to the spiritual world. Who should it be explained to? It can't be explained to the envious people who aren't austere, haven't got sufficient pious credits. So all these verses are epistemology. They're not the message, they're about the message, the effect. And here he's going on like that. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from simple reactions and attains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. Right? One devotee, it's very common. He was engaged in devotional service. He was hearing, chanting, coming to class, all these kind of things like that, serving the process. But he decided he didn't want to be a devotee anymore. So he left ISKCON. And he's thinking, I wonder if Krishna is actually a generous person. I've done all this work for him. So he wanted to finish his university education. So he was in Berkeley in California, so I knew him. And he went to the University of California, and it cost so much a month to pay his fees and everything else. He didn't have any money. But yeah, he could enter. He had enough qualifications to enter. And so he went to the U.S. government looking for a job. And then the Department of the Interior, they had a job available. They were looking for a night guard on Alcatraz Island. Right? So Alcatraz is the island in the middle of San Francisco Bay, where all the most horrible prisoners were kept. People who were so terrible, they didn't want to risk any chance of getting out in society again. So they put them on an island in the middle of the water where nobody could escape. And also there was the electric chair was there and everything else. But then it was too expensive to maintain it, so they moved them across the bay. And so that was this abandoned, with all these old iron cells with iron bars and rusting. And during the daytime, boats would come there, tourists, they'd get a tour of the place and explain these things like that and show pictures. So about, I think it was 6 o'clock in the evening, a boat would come to take all the staff off. It was a national park at that time, off there back to the city. And so he took this job because nobody else wanted it. He'd be alone at night on Alcatraz Island with all these people that had been executed and everything else. And so, he's a devotee. So at 6 o'clock at night, he'd leave him off and everybody else would get in the boat and go away. And so he was there all night. And he said when he was there for like 3 years, the only thing that ever happened was one time that one boat came and he had to go out and tell them, we're closed, you've got to come back at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he said, okay. And so he would go to school during the daytime. He'd come back at night. He'd do all of his homework, and there was no distraction for this work like that, He said about 10 o'clock at night, it's 10:30, 11, he would just make one last radio call to the thing, everything's okay, and go to sleep, And then get up the next morning and take him back, and he'd go to school like that, So he had no distractions whatsoever. He was focusing. His money was coming in. He could pay for his college education and also save money. He didn't have to pay for any place to sleep or eat, like that. So, within 3 years, it takes 4 years to get a University of California degree, but he got, he did very, very well. He came out of the University of California in 3 years with a very, very, high-class bachelor's degree. And he was thinking, okay, maybe Krishna's not God, but at least, he's very fair. And I was able to go to the planets where, where pious people dwell or something like that, So this is the side effect of devotional service. You just hear this Bhagavad Gita, just listening to it. The Bhagavatam, of course, the most famous verse is Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridayanta Stohi Abhadrani Vidinoti Suhritsatam. Prabhupada quotes this so many times. It's Punya. Shrinvatam, or hearing. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana. Hearing. Kirtanam. Chanting it. You become pious just by hearing. Even if you don't understand what the content is at all, you become purified. All this collection of different kinds of reaction activities that are tied up in your heart, all these knots and stuff, they all become unbound. In the Bible, it says the same thing. Even though you are considered the most sinful of all sinful... No, that's Bhagavad Gita. Come, Jesus Christ says, come, let us reason together. Talk about these things. And even if your sins are as red as blood, they will become as white as snow. Right? And the same thing in Bhagavad Gita earlier. It's the same thing. It's repeating the same thing again and again. Even though you're considered the most sinful of all sinful people, once you're situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you can easily pass over all these paths of material existence. This is fire turns unlimited firewood to ashes, so the transcendental knowledge turns all these simple reactions into ashes, like that. So it's very, this is this verse. One who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from simple reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So what is faith? Faith doesn't mean blind faith. Faith means that you're willing to apply what you're hearing. A famous example is that Hiranyakasipu was there. He's a big monster. Big, wizard. And his little son, Prahlad, he couldn't defeat him. He was like 5 years old. And finally, he's staring at him. He's looking at him, And he says, For where is your power coming from to defy me? And he says, it comes from the same place as your power and everybody's power, from Vishnu. And Manikkasipu is disturbed. Why are you proposing some god other than me? Where is this god of yours, Prahlad? And he said, he's everywhere. You know, is he in this microphone stand? And so then, and then Prabhupada says that Prahlad wasn't required to have blind faith and say, yes, he's there. You know, he was looking, you know, a little child. He's saying, yeah, he's there. You know, because Nrisimhadeva was making his presence felt. So Prahlad was looking and saying, yeah, he's there. You know, so that's faith. Faith doesn't mean blind faith. That's condemned in Bhagavad Gita. Faith means just whatever you know, you understand, you're willing to apply that, you know, like that. So, you know, one who listens with faith means you're listening with this attitude that, okay, if I understand something now, I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply it. I'm not going to make up some artificial excuse or maybe this means that or that means this, or we can look at it this way or divide the words up that way. And, you know, no, it's, I can understand all of that. Okay, if you listen with that attitude, practical attitude, and you're not envious of Krishna, you know, I think jealousy means you want somebody's possessions, and envy means you want to kill them. Envy, like that. It's the worst form of jealousy. You know? And so maybe we have this kind of tendency of Krishna. We want this, we want that in comparison, but we're trying to give it up. You know, trying to give this up and understand things properly like that. You know? Okay. Then we become free from simple reactions and attain to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. And where is that? Is that Pipti Loka? Where is that? Auspicious planet. Huh? Yeah, he was talking about the pole star, Dhruva Loka. You know, very, very elevated place. Like that. And it's very, very nice there. You know, there's no problems, no anxiety. You don't have to go to work. You know? Wonderful place. But the nicest thing is that you have the opportunity to go on and advance your service more. You know? You have the opportunity to purify your heart more and become completely purified like that. So he's describing the potency of Bhagavad Gita, describing who it should be spoken to, describing the result of speaking it. Yeah? And the content is, give up all these you know, material, ethical, and moral things for different kinds of happiness in this world. Well, you got to go to school, you got to finish your college degree, because then you can become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. Then you can get a good job, and after some time you can have a nice marriage and have a nice family, nice position in society. This is all the kind of dharma that Krishna's saying, just give this up, right? And even mystical powers for these kind of things, just give it up and just surrender to me. That's the essence of all the Vedas, the most secret knowledge, right? And then what's the result? He's describing that here. Even if you don't become a pure devotee, just by hearing it, you become pious. So, any comments? Anybody else?
So, you said that the devotion went to pious as well. So, is that talking about the spiritual world?
No, it's probably the purport says Dhruvaloka, the pole star. You know. Because he's saying that there's some people who are not ready for that. You know? They're not envious of Krishna. Like really, they're not like, I mean really like consciously, but they're also, they're still not ready to become, you know, servants of his. You know, like that. You know, coming, hearing, you know. There's a joke that a Unitarian church, Unitarians are people who are looking for God and hope they don't find him. Because you find him, then you gotta like, oh, surrender. You know, so, yeah. So, you know, without too much pressure or disturbance, then people are Krishna says it's okay. And we had a big project in Hyderabad in the south of India. Some devotees gave a big piece of land with several villages on the property. And so then they asked about who could come, who could stay, and Prabhupada said everybody's welcome, as long as they can follow the four principles and not cause a disturbance. And everybody's welcome. Yeah? So that's it. And the kingdom of God is very general. To be in the king's palace is something else, and to associate with the king directly is something else. But to be in the king's kingdom, then he's very liberal. Yeah. Why should people suffer? Yeah? Like that. Yeah? Yeah. So one time Prabhupada was saying that, he said that religion is not for getting bread. And he's saying, but actually it's the best way to get bread. Right? That isn't the real purpose of it. But if you really determined to get that, then okay, this is the best way to do it, is to serve God and pray to Him, and then, yeah, you get your bread in a nice fashion that way. Yeah. Okay? It's actually pretty sophisticated in the philosophy of in Bhagavad Gita. Next verse. Let's chant. Want to chant something? Want to chant? Lead us in the Sanskrit. Text 72.
The Sanskrit?
Yeah. Kachit itas shrutam partha. Kachit itas shrutam partha.
Tvayaika
grena chetasa. Kachit agyana samoha. Pranastaste dananjaya.
O son of Pitta, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are you ignorance and illusions now dispelled?
Okay, I'll be loud. The Lord was acting as the spiritual master of Arjuna. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita, if so required. Actually, anyone who hears Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master like Krishna or his representative will find that all his ignorance is dispelled. Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary book written by a poet or a fiction writer. It is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any person fortunate enough to hear these teachings from Krishna or from his bona fide spiritual representative is sure to become a liberated person and get out of the darkness of ignorance. So again, it's the qualifications of the book, right? The qualifications of the Gita. So, okay? Clear? Guna Grimars was talking with a devotee. He was saying that Prabhupada said, I've explained Bhagavad Gita in such a fashion that even a first-class fool can understand. You know? And he said, but still, I have to admit that sometimes I have trouble understanding at certain points. And other people, he said, I give a copy to my sister. She's an educated person. She said she read it and she could understand it. So it's like, what to speak of being first-class fools? We're, you know, something worse than that. You know? But if you understand the actual content, you know, then you, again, all these different illusions and things become, who am I, what is faith, what is this world, what is this body, what is the activity of the soul, what is the spiritual world, is there a controller behind everything, all these things become clear. How is this manifest in the modes of nature? Nashto moha smitir labda Tvat prasadan maya chuta Stitosmi gata sandeha Karishye vachanam tava.
What are we? Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible, my illusion is now gone. I have gained my memory by your mercy, and I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions. Purple. The constitutional position of a living entity represented by Arjuna is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant to self-discipline. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of a living entity is that of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature, but in serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes a liberated servant of God. The living entity's constitutional position is to be servitive. Either he has to serve the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory energy, external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In the illusion, the living entity is serving in this material world. He is bound by his lusts and desires. Yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders under the supreme, to to act according to his desires. The last illusion, the last snare of Maya, to trap the living entity, is the proposition that he is God. The living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but God. He is so intelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt? That he does not consider. So that is the last snare of illusion. Actually, to become free from the illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and agree to act according to his will. The word moha is very important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is the understanding that every living entity is eternally servitude of the Lord. That instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not servant, that he is the master of this material world, for he wants to lord it over material nature. That is his illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is the master, who is full of knowledge, and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time, and he is full of all opulences and all potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can even give himself to the devotee. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servant of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Nice. Any comments?
Huh?
I qualify. Tricky guy. Any comments? Yeah.
What do they mean by unnecessary increase?
Unnecessary increase in
population.
Yeah. Well, it says described that the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense force of many kings who were actually demons, disguised as kings. Actually, before the Mahabharata starts, apparently there's as always, the Daityas and the Adityas are engaging in battle and in the higher realms, But this time the demons are losing, And so finally they have some big meeting about we have to escape, The only thing that's holding us together is Namuchi is still fighting with Surya, and as soon as he loses, those are going to capture us and we're going to hide someplace. So they don't know where to go, and then finally, the demigods defeat their army and rush in. They're all gone. Where have they gone? So looking everywhere, and they can't find them anywhere in the universe. So finally, then Bhumi says, "Ah, I know where they are. Where are they? They're taking birth in my body," like that. And so then Kalanemi, big demon, he became Kangsa. And Viparchiti became Jarasandha, like that. And the ladies are doing sangskaras to keep this from happening, but these are like, compared to these guys, these sangskaras are not, potent enough. They were just forcing their way into these bodies. Duryodhana and all of his 99 brothers were all rakshasas. At one point during the battle, when the whole thing was going on, the battle of Kurukshetra, the other rakshasas, pull him up from this level to the higher level, and they start criticizing him for not conquering these things and doing this and that. We're helping you, and he says, "If you think it's so easy, you try it." You know, and he said, well, okay, and he pushed him back down again. He's there again like that, you know. And Surya became who?
Well, that was actually Karna.
Yeah, Radeya, Karna, and Indra, Arjuna, yeah, yeah. So that was why he came, because it was, you know, these was just unnecessary, unwanted population on the earth. Okay, he sent them back to where they should be, Las Vegas, you know, someplace like that. You know, they got, yeah, you know, Krishna's kind to everybody. There's a place for everybody, like that. You know, and so if you start, you know, in Las Vegas, you discover you're being robbed or all these things are happening. What's your own fault for going there? You know, that's why it's designed like that. You know, so on. Yeah? Okay. Unnecessary population. Yes, sir.
If Surya is incarnated as Karna,
yeah,
then should he be on the other side?
That's right, no, because it was very complicated. You know. Bhishma was on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people, you know, just like little, that's why it's a very, very complicated story, because there are many, many different kinds of stories with little details like that. You know? You know, to make an automobile run, there's so many little details. You know, this is a little bit wrong, that's a little bit wrong, and then you've got to get everything right. You know, in the end, you know, they're all rejoicing that Karna's dead, and then Krishna's chastising Arjuna. He said, you never could have, you know, defeated him. Don't be so proud. It was only because I was standing on your chariot that the thing still exists. You know, he got off and Hanuman jumped off and the whole thing just burned to ashes. Arjuna was amazed. He said, yeah, you never could have withstood the ostracism of these people. You know, he said, I said, Radeya was the most pious man who ever lived. Like that. You know? Yeah. In the end, Kunti comes to him and says, I'm your mother. You've always been trying to find out who I am, so please now stop this battle. Leave Duryodhana, I'm your mother, I'm asking you. Please come and join your brothers. They'll all, once I tell them that you're their older brother, they'll all bow to you and accept you as their leader. And this war will be stopped, all this killing stopped. Duryodhana can't go on without you. And so he says, you know, all, you Pandavas, big Pandavas, they tried to humiliate me in every way. You know, Draupadi was insulting me. You know, you claim to be my mother, but you never mentioned this before. To save your honor, you never mentioned you had a child before marriage. So everybody, you know, and the only person who's ever been my friend, you know, is Duryodhana. So in the moment when he needs me the most, you ask me to walk out on him. Yeah? So very difficult. You know, what is he going to do? You know, walk out on his friend, you know, a person like that. So he says, no, I can't do that. You know, but I promise you, you've always claimed to be the mother of five heroes, so tomorrow when the sun sets, you'll also have five sons. I won't kill the twins, Bhima or Yudhisthira, but tomorrow when the sun sets, either I or Yudhisthira or Arjuna will be dead. So she passes out. So it goes on. So it's very subtle, no? You know, actually we did this in, we're traveling with our Manipuri group. We have artists from Manipur, dancers, musicians, Ras Lila, you know, martial arts, everything. And we went cross country from California to some shows in the Midwest and like that around. And we hit Salt Lake City, you know, Charu's temple there. And just the same time that Peter, Bhakti Marg Swami, and Loka Mangala were putting on a Mahabharata, he'd arranged that at Brigham Young University. And of course, Mormon religion is Kshatriya, you know, religion and honor and family and passion, like that. And so this worked out that way. And so then they were having this drama, and it was a good, nice size hall. And it had maybe about one third full to start with. So they started doing the Mahabharata, and they had a good version like that, you know. But then we were adding to that, for example, for the invocation, they had these Manipuri drummers, and they did these full, you know, barrel rolls in the air with the drums. So we had this drum invocation to start with. We're like, wow. It's like that. So then people telling their friends. And the Mormons were coming, you know, they come, they want to see, like, well, what is the Hindu philosophy? Bhagavad Gita is the Bible of India. If we're going to actually defeat this and tell them the real gospel, we have to see the defects and stuff like that. So they're coming to watch all this, you know. And then how'd it go? Then it came time for the battle scenes. And, you know, of course, they had Peter and Loka Mangala had a few battle things. And then they just kind of stepped back. And then the Manipuris came out with these real steel scimitars, went at it with sparks flying in the air and jumping, and then they came out with swords and spears and shields, you know, and Mormons are watching all this, you know. It was only about 2 minutes, you know, but 2 minutes of full-on combat is really difficult. So then by Bobby Chu's wife, he said, "Isn't there any more?" And back there, they're back behind the stage, and one of them had gone into body convulsions. His whole body was cramping. So the two were like pulling him from both ends like that, his arms and legs like that. Cause, you know, they know it happens. So he's sitting there like, "Are you okay?" He said, "Ah." So they said, "That's what you see in the movies is recorded over 2 days like that. It's not like 5 minutes of fighting. It's recorded over 2 days. So 2 minutes of live fighting is like a lot." And so the news was spreading across the campus, but by the time we finished, there was a whole hall was just full of people watching it, you know. And then finally it finishes off and it says, "Then you just went back to the spiritual world," and that was the end of the thing. But then we added, "Where every song is a dance, and the sound of Sri Krishna's flute is the copa singing, and the door opens up, and out comes 18 gopis and Krishna and a flute and just dancing and everything else, and the beautiful music. It finished off with a maha mantra and everything else, you know. So they stood up and were clapping, and, you know, and you could see that they were thinking, "My God, it's like, wow, we're going to convert these Hindus to Christianity." So I never knew there was such a depth of, you know, a depth of ethical, what to speak of religious thought. There's such a depth of ethical and moral character in these people. You know, in some ways you say that, you know, Radeya never made an ethical mistake. You know, if you look at it from the point of Dharma, he chose to be true to his friend, not to betray his friend. Yeah, so his problem was subtle. Yeah, and that's why the Bhagavad Gita goes through all these things and comes out of what is the conclusion. Which, in the West, if you're Christian, you know, Christ is saying the same thing. You know, he's presenting this monotheistic idea of worshiping God as the ultimate religious activity. In the Bible, the same thing happens many times. Some people, for example, God tells somebody to kill everybody, all the prisoners, doesn't want to do it. Yes, but then the point comes out that no, this is whatever God wants is the best thing for everybody. If you really come in contact with Him, if you identify Him, you know Him, this is Him, this is what He wants, then it doesn't matter what it is. If you have to kill 640 million people in 18 days, then do it. You know? You know? But the Prabhupada said you can only do that if God's directly standing beside you. You know? Yeah. So all these things are there to identify who is God. Actually, this verse is almost like a summary of the content of Bhagavad Gita. I think Prabhupada is doing that. He identifies who is Krishna, you know, all his potencies. What is this material world? How do we understand these things? So finally, when Arjuna is surrendering, in the most difficult situation, civil war. Practically speaking, there's nothing more difficult than civil war. War is the most difficult human encounter. When it becomes civil war, it becomes the most difficult. So he's facing it, and he finally knows how to deal even with this. Because somebody else could say, "I'm God, you know, worship me, do this, kill these people." You know? So many holy wars, right? But he's probably identifying. Krishna's given so much evidence about how to understand who he is and who he is, how to distinguish spiritual world from the material world. Material world is acting under three modes: food, faith. What else? You know, all these things, one after another. He identifies them all, how you can see all these things and understand what is the spiritual aspect, like that. And then have a relationship with the Supreme Spirit, the Paramatma. And it doesn't go much beyond that, you know, Paramatma. And Krishna's revelation itself in Bhagavad Gita. The friendship is not like Vrindavan, where it's on an equal level, but it's friendship with respect, which is in Vaikuntha. Like that. Yeah. So. Okay? Yeah. Have you heard? "My illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. And now I'm firm and free from doubt." But I've noticed this. For example, when you're a sannyasi, it's very, very good ashram. They're all good. Yeah. But sannyasi ashram is good. Yeah. For example, when I wake up sometimes, I have to go through this process. Which continent am I on? You know, Europe, India, or South America, or North America? Okay. North America. You know, which city am I in? Well, I'm not in Houston anymore. I'm in Boise. Okay. You know, where is the bathroom? Oh, okay. Yeah. Because they keep moving it, right? You know, when you go, they keep moving it different places like that. You know? I mean, this is one time I was in Cuenca. It's in the mountains in Ecuador. Actually, it's very similar to Boise. Very similar to Boise. So in the mountains there, and I had to travel all the way from Bolivia to transit in Lima, then back up to Cuenca. I arrived in Guayaquil. I was supposed to stay there on the seacoast. But the devotees run up to me and say, no, your flight's 1 hour late. You're supposed to go directly to Guayaquil. And so they just rushed me off. The baggage ran that way. I ran that way. I got in the airplane, arrived there. The devotees came. Went to what's the devotee's name? Mother Mungal. His house, a nice house, but no heating. The central heating is unknown there. So everything was very nice and new, but cold, you know. So I went into the shower to take a shower, and it said hot and hot. It said cold. So I turned the cold water on, which means caliente, which means hot in Spanish. You know? And of course, it was like boiling hot. So it hit my chest, and I went, screaming, and turned it off like that. My chest was red. So I took some shower, and then I came out. And traveling all day in the airplane, I was dehydrated. So there's a bottle of water there. Oh, how nice of them, you know. So I opened it up, and it was carbonated water. And somebody had been shaking it. So when they opened it up, it went like that. Put it down like that. You know? And so then my mind was panicking. And I was like looking at the bed like, you know, we would attack me or something and so on. So this is, you know, this is describing here. I want permission to have a real purpose here. My illusion is I regained my memory. So this is the essence of intelligence. You build this whole thing, this world about who am I, where am I, what's happening, and without that you can't do anything, you know. And so, it can come from the spiritual platform, because your material basis goes away. As you get older and older, you start losing your memory. You know? This is nature's arrangement to force you to go deeper. It's called shmaranam. Shmaranam can occur in the head, it can occur in the senses, or finally it can occur in the soul. You know, so we're trying to regain our memory, recollection of Krishna, right? From the heart. And when that's done, then it's very clear what to do, right? Your position, everything else is very clear. That's how we know. I should do this, that. You know, it's clear. You know? And so Arjuna now is clear in his position. You know? And so therefore he has full sensuous strength, right? When you lose your intelligence and everything else, you become weak physically. You can't, you know, throw yourself into it. You can't connect up to the source of power like that. And so Arjuna now is, you know, is remembered. And also not learning something, it's remembering. Even Socrates said the same way, that you know, education doesn't mean to learn something, it means to remember. Yeah. It doesn't mean to learn something, it means to remember, right? He said that the teacher is the midwife of the psyche, right? So many times he would ask people, he said, do you understand what I mean when I'm talking about perfect beauty? He would say, well, yes. Do you understand what I'm talking about in terms of pure truth? Yes. Do we see these things in the world? And he said, well, no. So therefore, you must have existed someplace else before where you experienced these things. Yes. You know? So his idea was the same thing, just to wake up. Yeah. Arjuna already knew everything he had to do, but he just forgotten. He was an illusion. So now his illusion goes away and he remembers and it's all clear. And he picks up his weapons. Okay. Yes, sir. This is your brain, remember now. Yeah? Only a madman has thoughts in his head. You know? Or a software engineer. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, everything has to have some kind of basis in reality. So, in the material world, is a perverted reflection of reality. So, we see things here, and they have some basis in reality, but they can be, you know, twisted to the exact opposite.
It's like if I have a theory in my brain, then it doesn't mean that
No, it could be, no, but it has some basis in reality. The Shiva Jwara and the Narayana Jwara are fighting and trying to save Banasura. And finally, the ultimate weapon of Narayana defeats the ultimate weapon of Shiva. He's about to die and he has no choice but to surrender because Lord Shiva can't help him. So he goes to Vishnu, he's praying, and there's beautiful prayers. And he said that, he says, that in every situation there must be some goodness. You're the master of goodness. There must be some goodness, because without some goodness, things can't even exist. Right? You know, so somebody, you can admire somebody's qualities, Prabhu, you exist. And I want to, you know, thank you for that. You know? Something with a common phrase, please forgive my humble existence. You know, like that. You know, it's offensive, just because by existing I'm being offensive. You know, but no, that's, so there always has to be some reality in things. You know, but in the mode of ignorance, it becomes, the mode of passion, it becomes distorted. In the mode of ignorance, it becomes the exact opposite of what it is. You know, the most abominable relationship in the material world is adultery. You know, but that's the most elevated relationship in the spiritual world. You know. So it's become completely perverted, right? Is that? Yeah. Yeah. Should we go on here? Maybe. Should we go on more? Yeah. Okay. And then text 74. Wow. Yeah. A few more. Sanjaya Uvacha Iti Aham Vasudevasya Partasya Cha Mahatmanaha Sangvadam Imam Ashrausham Adbhutam Romaharshanam Aja Govinda, want to read this?
Sanjay said, thus have I heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end.
Oh, wow.
In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Uttaraj inquired from his secretary Sanjay, what happened about the battlefield of Kurukshetra? The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjay, by the grace of the spiritual master, Vyas. He does explain the theme of the battlefield. The conversation was wonderful because it's such an important conversation between two great souls has never taken place before and would not take place again. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking about himself and his energy to his living entity, Arjuna, a great devotee of the Lord. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. Sanjay realized this, and as he began to understand it, he related the conversation to the ground. Now it is concluded that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is the truth.
So again, it's describing the conversation. So wonderful. Vyasa prasadach chutavan etad guyam aham param yogyam yogeshvarat krishnat sakshat kata yathashvayam. Ian, what are we? Translation, purport.
Narada is the direct disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyasa.
Therefore, Vyasa is a bona fide, is as bona fide as Arjuna because he comes in the disciple succession. And Sanjaya is the direct disciple of Vyasa. Therefore, by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjaya's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confident, true knowledge. If one does not come to disciple succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding the Bhagavad Gita is concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, all the yogas are strict. Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. That's right. Krishna is the master of all such mystical things. It is to be understood, however, that Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly. So, by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjaya was able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via a bona fide spiritual master of Vyasa. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasa also. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct the ceremony called Vyasa Puja.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments? Questions? This is still all epistemology, how to hear the message, you know, the results of the message, you know? Yeah. One thing I always remember, notice it says in the first paragraph, it says, The spiritual master is a transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. It's like you have glasses, right? It's you know, if you're rich, it's glass. If you're poor, it's plastic, right? And you know, trying to look through plastic, trying to look through, you know, silicon, through sand, it's ridiculous, you know. But actually, it actually improves your vision. You can see the whole world is kind of foggy, and you put these things on, it becomes clear, you know. Oh, same thing. You don't see something else. So your experience, but you're not looking at the world. You're actually looking at the glasses, right? And then they're so transparent in improving the situation that your experience is direct. That's the point here. It says although it is true, the spiritual master is a transparent medium. Although it is true, the experience is direct. And you don't, when the glasses are on, you forget you're wearing them, right? And then thinking, well, now I'm looking at the world. I'm going to translate this. So here's something coming to me. Let me translate this so I can understand what's going on. No, it's direct experience. So if we're actually coming in contact with bona fide disciplic succession, then we are directly experiencing Krishna, right? Yeah, that's a test. Right? Yeah. And also, we directly experience all the people in the parampara. You know, you start singing Narottam Das Thakur songs, and you begin to really experience his consciousness and understand why he's singing that way and everything else. You actually meet everybody, you know, along the way, you know, by the mercy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada gives us, you know, Rupa Goswami's purport songs, Vishnu Chakravarti's commentaries. So gradually, you meet all these people and, you know, and go through them, right? If the Lord Chaitanya, the Lord Chaitanya can take us to Krishna. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we also have to become, you know, members of the parampara, right? Yeah. And you know, and again, it's by the, one time we were in Weezer, Idaho, and we came here, and this, you know, was, then there was like, you know, this the temple was over there. I guess somebody else owned this part. And outside was the parking area with the carport. And we built this Rath Yatra cart there with Lokanath, Das, you know, myself, everybody. It was on a small trailer. It wasn't very big, but it was like a little kind of little Joanna Jagannath Puri. It was okay, you know. Trailer was about maybe this long, you know. And then they went to Weezer, Idaho for the National Old Time Fiddlers Competition. And it was a parade through you know, downtown Weezer, Idaho, which is about one block, I think. And then around the residential neighborhoods, and people were sitting out front in their little lawn chairs with their thermos thing there with the lemonade, and
you know, fan, you know, like that. And so we got, what is it? We got first place in which division? Yeah, like that, you know. And then the Mormons were there, and the Mormons had this flow there. I think, I remember, it was as big as this room, and the size of this room and everything else like that, you know. And so we went first because we won like that. So the guy was being pulled by a tractor, and this guy was some kind of beef farmer or something like that. Like, you know, so why am I pulling the Hare Krishnas? You know, pulling us down there. So here we went past the Mormons, and the Mormons were like looking down at us from their float, like in horror and shock, you know. This guy's won, you know, they beat us and have this big float about, you know, this thing like that, you know. And then we were going down the street, and there was like four or five of us chanting in the back like that. And you looked at it, it was a little thing going by, and you couldn't hear very well, and there was no sound system. But I was looking at the people on the side, and they were all like this smiling and having this enormous reaction, you know. And so I was, as far as I can understand, the super soul, the Paramatma, was in their heart, telling, look, this is important, look close, watch, listen carefully, you know. So even if you're Srila Prabhupada, you know, talking, then I know people who've been directly in front of Prabhupada and couldn't appreciate anything about him. They just kind of go bored, and later on they curse themselves, you know, they miss that opportunity. So it's only by the mercy of the Paramatma, Chaita Guru, that we can appreciate Diksha Guru, you know, Shiksha Guru, people like that. You know, it's the same way too, if we're honestly trying to represent the Parampara, just trying to explain things as we've heard, like that to people, and as we realize to people like that, and trying to, you know, serve Krishna, you know, get his news around to people, educate people, and then, you know, we're doing a little bit, but the Paramatma is, you know, making it all comprehensible, filling it in, like that, right? And making somebody see our defects and understand and compensate for them, you know? Yeah. So this is our job: become transparent, right? Representatives of the Parampara. And then again, it's just, you know, Prabhupada says, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and the previous Acharya, the disciple can do more than the previous Acharya. Right? I'm not the doer, right? Realizing that at all, you know, but still things were happening that are greater than my spiritual master did. You know, doesn't mean I'm greater than him, it's by his mercy and the mercy of Nityananda that it's happening. And I gotta find what I'm supposed to be doing in this situation like that. Okay, kid. You know. In 5 minutes, all the Indians in the world are going to run down this passageway with knives and clubs. You know, you got one chance that we open this gate here and wash them off the side of the road like that. So I'm going to go over here and do that. When I wave to you, you pull this lever. Like that. Yeah. So we got to understand what our position is. And it's the right time, we just pull the lever. Pretty good. You know. Yeah. So what is our ability, what is our nature, what is our limits, you know, like that. Become representatives. And people then can directly experience, you know, through us. You know, through us, they can directly experience Krishna. And, you know, one devotee actually, I met him in the Miami temple, and he came in, the devotee introduced him, you know, to me. I think he maybe heard one class over there before, and Julio Benventes from Miami, from Lima. He came in, he was talking for a couple of seconds, and he excused me, and then he went away and came back after, out of the bathroom sometime later. He told me about a month later, he said, I don't know what it was, when I saw you, I had this intense emotional feeling I wasn't expecting at all. So I went to the bathroom, and said, I was crying for about 2-3 minutes, if I could control myself. And, what does it mean? And I said, I don't know, maybe I took a lot of money from you in your last lifetime. So, I remember this, you know. And so, Hasiduddha told us, the Prabhupada said, the spiritual master doesn't do anything unusual. He gives class, he talks, like that. Devotees, they go out, but he says the super soul does through them, does many things, like that. You know? So we go out and just try and do our job, you know? Simple. And then you see, you know, Tipperary, a famous book distributor, you say, how do you distribute books? He said, you just open up the book and watch the magic happen. You know, open it up and then something happens. Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay, one last verse here. Vyasadeva Kijai. Rajan sang smritya sang smritya. Sangvadam imam adbutam. Keshvarjunayo punyam Krishyami cha muhur muhu. As I repeatedly recall, Smritya, Smritya, this wonderful and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. You know, Smritya, Smritya, you know, meditation, recollection, absorption. The understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who becomes conversant with the topics of Arjuna and Krishna becomes righteous, and he cannot forget such talks. This is the transcendental position of spiritual life. In other words, one who hears a Gita from the right source, directly from Krishna, attains full Krishna consciousness. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened, and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. You know, this is the test. You know. I know myself now, see, my intelligence is like, you know, I don't enjoy life with a great thrill at every moment. It's like, but I know that, okay, it's, you know, and I'm doing this, why am I doing this? Well, it's for Krishna, this and that. Okay, it's okay, okay, it's good. But then, okay, let me stop and do some bhajan or chant some rounds or this, you know, and I know that if I do it and stuff, I can focus my mind, get my intelligence clarified, my memory becomes, who am I, what am I doing, Krishna? And then it's like, it's always, you know, happy, nice, you know? Like that. It's better than intoxication. It's better than this and that. Right? So when we go on, that's the beginning. That's bhava, emotion, sentiment. You know? But in the beginning, it's not intense enough for us to reciprocate with Krishna. You know, we have the feeling of being Krishna's mother, right? Want to take care of him, or his father, Nanda Maharaj. You know, that's, it's real, but it's not intense enough. And the bhava has to become prema. So this process, it becomes more intense, more intense. Hear the Bhagavad Gita again. Listen to certain things. You know? And at the same time, too, who can take the whole Bhagavad Gita into his heart? You know, now he has his puny hearts, you know, little memories, right? But maybe somehow or other, more and more and more, and you can build the whole thing until finally all the different parts of it are there. And maybe not this book. You know, there's so many other, you know, but which prayers did Prabhupada like? Prabhupada quotes prayers and conversations from the Bhagavad Gita. What else? What else? Prahlad Maharaj? Rishabhdev? Narada talking to who? Yeah, sometimes, yeah. But yeah, he gives a lot of emphasis to Rishabhdev. He quotes those prayers a lot. Yeah? Huh? Yeah? So he did the same thing. He developed a certain, you know, shmaranam, recollection. You take these things to heart. And then it doesn't matter what happens. So I remember like my friend Nitai Gaur Sundar in Tennessee. His father, Kamwar Chandra Prakash Singh, was a very nice person. He translated some of the books for Prabhupada. And then he finally is, you know, getting older and his body's falling apart. And then they had to have some surgery. And the doctor was telling Nitai Gaur Sundar, this old, it'd be very great stress in his body. I don't know if he can take it or not, you know. But he had to have it, so they did it. And he came out of it, but yeah, but his memory was just kind of this, you know, distorted. And he couldn't remember whether he was in Tennessee or in Lucknow, like that, you know. So I was there with him, you know. But I was just chanting some bhajans, and he would just didn't join me and stuff like that, you know. So I kind of noticed that he didn't know where he was exactly, but he had a real clear understanding of who he was, like that. He was a Ram Bhakta, you know. He was quoting different verses like that sometimes. And then I was there for a few days. He had to go leave for the Bhagavad Parikrama. And then the doctor came in. He'd been in recovery for a few days. And finally the body was getting back together. And he came in. He said, okay, you're better now. I think you can go home tomorrow. Like that. And when he said that, I think you can go home tomorrow. And it just kind of struck me as, you know, chills, you know. So I left that night, and I didn't hear anything. When the Brajana Parikrama, after about 2 weeks, I called back and said, how is Dada? He said, oh, he came back the next day, comfortably in the bed, and left his body, like that. So he went back to the house and went back home, like that. And that's what he said, like that. Well, this is smarnam. It has to go from just, you know, remember, this is, you know, smritya, smritya. It doesn't mean just in the brains, but it has to go into the heart. You have to learn these things by heart, you know, deeply. And how much can you learn? You know, so because the size of your heart, I guess, how big your heart is. You know? And so you start taking certain prayers, certain things, and for us they're meaningful. You know, and assemble those. You know,
following our spiritual master and different things. You know, you have to build your own logic so you know these things whether you have books or not. Right? And so you can answer all the questions. Yeah? Like that. Yeah? And maybe you're expert on some things and somebody else is expert on something else. But all the questions, you can answer all of them. You know, by quoting Shastra. Shastra is not material. It's these, you know, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. It's directly coming from the spiritual world. You know, it's a real substance. So when you got that, you can, you know, put it in your little collection there, put it on your altar in your heart. And this goes here. You know, I'm lacking something. I need a picture of Bhakti Siddhanta, you know, what's that, you know? Or I need a verse. I remember one time, I remember, what was that word? Gatasum zakata sumscha nanu sochanti panditaha sochayanam sochas tvams pragnyavaram sabasya se gatasum zakata sumscha nanu sochanti panditaha. I memorized that verse, you know, because it was a specific, you know, logical argument was coming up, and I thought I need something, you know, to be able to defeat this, you know, like that. Yeah? See, you should memorize. We have practical knowledge of scriptures, memorizing things, and you can memorize songs too. You don't have to memorize verses, you can memorize the songs, and the songs include the philosophy. And then your intelligence becomes bewildered, you start singing some songs, your intelligence becomes purified. And one time Prabhupada had a program in Vrindavan before he came to the West, and then the whole program is there. And it was a reception of the governor, it was the governor of Uttar Pradesh, as I remember, was coming. The program was in Vadadamadar Temple, in Janmashtami. And then he had, I think he had one song in Bengali and an explanation. And then he had another song in Bengali and an explanation and an appreciation by the governor. And that was, and then prasadam. And that was the program. It was just two songs with their explanation like that. Yeah? So very nice. Nice program like that. Yeah. So, is that it? One, the last one. We can't do number 78. It's been forbidden by the administration. touch cha samsmritya samsmritya rupam ati adbutam harehe vishmayo me mahan rajan hrishyami cha puna puna. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Jai, wow, okay. It appears that Sanjaya also, by the grace of Vyasa, could see the universal form Krishna exhibited to Arjuna. It is, of course, said that Lord Krishna had never exhibited such a form before. It was exhibited to Arjuna only. Yet some great devotees could also see the universal form of Krishna when it was shown to Arjuna. And Vyasadeva was one of them. He is one of the great devotees of the Lord. Oh, and he is considered to be a powerful incarnation of Krishna. Vyasadeva disclosed to his disciple Sanjaya, who remembered that wonderful form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna and enjoyed it repeatedly. Wow. And enjoying it. Frightening form, right? I guess it's enjoying if you're a devotee. If you're a non-devotee, it's terrifying. Is death personified? Time, that everything, universal form. So, okay. So the next Friday, we'll come back because the last verse is going to be like an award ceremony, anything like that. And when did you start the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. 3 years ago. Wow, it's finally coming on in. All that. How many people are left who actually started it? How many people are here who actually started 3 years ago? Rex and Darlene? So you say, well, special awards for me for Rex and Darlene. They deserve it, right? After all these years. We can talk about it. Yeah. 3 years ago. Okay. Yeah.
But you did it twice, though. It's not like
this is the second time.
Second time. Within 3 years, it's been.
Twice.
The second time.
No. First time was before that. The first time you did that task was very fast.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
And
that took about a year and a half.
Wow.
Second time you were doing it, the request was to read all the purpose.
Yeah.
And you did that in 6 years.
Wow. When Upadeshamrita came out, I tried to memorize the verses, and I thought it's kind of one thing. But then I discovered that when you do these things, you're stuck with them. Kind of be careful which scripture you're studying and everything else, because that becomes like an eternal part of your consciousness, you know, like that. So Bhagavad Gita, you've gone through it one time, and this will always be there. It's an eternal asset. You know, whatever sacrifice you did for the Bhagavad Gita will always be there. And he'll always be drawing you back, you know, to read me more, study me more, learn me more. I don't want to. I want to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tough luck. You know, it's very, very selective, even amongst Prabhupada's books. You know, very selective in terms of your building your structure, associating with them. They're very, you know, very potent. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. Back home, back to God. Thank you very much.
So next time, I'll be here.